It's All Things Considered and time for Helping Hand, Fridays during the program and then archived online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for listening. This week, we are continuing our series within Helping Hand about vulnerable animals and one of the most imperiled on Earth due to consumers in our Asia-Pacific neighborhood, and that is the rhinoceros. Our guest this week is the Elephant Action League. It's a nonprofit found online at elephantleague.org. They investigate wildlife crime. They expose criminals, traffickers, corrupt individuals behind it, and this nonprofit helps law enforcement gather information and evidence to break up the criminal syndicates that are driving the poaching crisis. They've got an ominous new report based on undercover research. Operation Red Cloud, Grinding Rhino, an investigation into rhino horn trafficking in China and Vietnam. We're going to learn more about the organization, the report, and how we can support the Elephant Action League with executive director and co-founder and one of the authors of the report, Andrea Crosta. Aloha, Andrea. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Aloha.
And am I pronouncing your last name right?
Perfect. Andrea Crosta. Yes.
There we go. Excellent. And first, describe who the Elephant Action League is. It's probably a new name to many listeners. And explain how, despite your name, there's a broader scope to the animals you seek to defend.
Yes. So Elephant Action League is a relatively new organization, American organization based in Los Angeles. We operate globally. We are one of the very few charity organizations in the world entirely focused on wildlife crime, on fighting wildlife crime. For wildlife crime, I mean the poaching, but also the trafficking of illegal wildlife products like ivory, rhino horn, and pangolins, and tiger parrots, and illegal timber, and so on. Our model, our modus operandi is also quite unique, is mostly based on intelligence. So we have an intelligence-led approach to conservation and wildlife crime. Most of our team comes from law enforcement and intelligence agency. We have former FBI special agents. We have military intelligence, former military intelligence. And we try to use these combined expertise and skills and network power to gather information on wildlife crime globally and, of course, investigate and try to disrupt wildlife trafficking and wildlife crime and help law enforcement to do their job. So every time we publish a report like this one, for example, about rhino, the public report is called Grinding Rhino, but at the same time, we publish a 200 pages confidential intel brief only for law enforcement, and this is the report that helped law enforcement in concrete. You know, it's a report on 55 person of interest that we found trafficking rhino horn across Asia.
And we'll talk more about that because that's a fascinating parallel report that Andrea says that they make. So in addition to what you can read, and we have the link, of course, with this segment online, but you can also understand more about at their website how they create a much more in-depth, unredacted report that can be used by law enforcement personnel to go after some of the personnel that they ran into who were involved in these criminal syndicates. Andrea, how are you guys funded?
Only privately, so there's individuals, foundations, family offices. That's our only source of funding.
Yeah, well, like a lot of nonprofits, it can be that way, no question. And we're a nonprofit too, so we certainly can relate.
Exactly.
Rhinos of all species facing this rising wave of killings around the world supply primarily Chinese and Vietnamese consumers with rhino horn. Explain how this undercover investigation that's in this report by the Elephant Action League was conducted and what the goal was.
Yeah, so of course the decision to launch Operation Red Cloud, which was the first undercover investigation on rhino horn trafficking in China ever conducted by an NGO, the decision, we are going through a terrible, unprecedented poaching crisis in Africa, especially South Africa, but not only. Just to give you one number, about 100 years ago, we still had 500,000 rhinos across Africa and Asia, and now we have less than 30,000, 29,000. So, especially in the past 10 years, due to some sort of perfect storm, a lot of requests from China, but also a new middle class, more people with more money wanting products for status symbol and for the traditional Chinese medicine. So that caused this terrible poaching crisis in Africa and part of Asia. But our approach is, instead of focusing only on poaching, which is, the ground zero when they kill the animals, we prefer to focus most of our efforts on the trafficking side. Because these are, over there, you have the individual responsible for the poaching crisis. Poachers are most of the times very poor people and exploited by rich traffickers, basically. So we decided to start this investigation. It was 11 months of undercover investigation. Our teams made multiple missions to China and Vietnam. Vietnam is right now the main transit country for rhino horn. So before entering China, a lot of rhino horn goes through Vietnam because the government is not responsive and it's easier. In Vietnam, we identified a few very important traffickers and brokers who have been doing this for years, so they know what they are doing. But then most of the rhino is then either sold to Chinese buyers in Vietnam or sent smuggled into China, which is now the largest illegal market for rhino horn. And this is where we focus all our work for the past 12 months, basically.
And this undercover investigation ends up recording conversations, secretly documenting interactions, getting pictures.
Correct.
It's really an impressive and very different thing, because we focused on different things about this crisis on the radio, and we've talked about it a lot, especially because basically, as you've pointed out, while the animals are located primarily in Africa, the demand is coming from Asia. So it's really, and being in the Asia Pacific, it's an important area for us. And one of the things that you guys did in this undercover investigation, we mentioned it earlier, is create not only a public report where people can see how much rhino horn is getting into China and all of the corruption that enables it and other factors, but you also made this unredacted report for law enforcement personnel. So when people support the Elephant Action League, it's not only about generating public information about what's happening. Explain how law enforcement can use the tool that you're providing them.
Exactly. So what people see is our public report. For example, a year and a half ago, we published a similar report called Blending Ivory. Was ivory trafficking in China. And if, I don't know if any of you saw the documentary, The Ivory Game, that features also myself, that was a similar operation. Like last year, also this year, every time we produce a public report, at the same time we also produce an unredacted confidential intel brief. On this brief, we put everything we find. So in this case, with the rhino horn, grinding rhino, the confidential intel brief is it contained detailed information on 55 individuals between Vietnam and China that we personally not only met but engaged multiple times. With some of them, we even became very close because we see them most of the time. Our teams every time pretend to be either buyers or also brokers or traders themselves in order to get the trust of these people. We record video and audio all the meetings, especially when they show us illegal goods. And this is because one of our main goals every time is to come back home with evidence, with hardcore data, not with rumors, not with "I heard that." No, things that we saw and we filmed and that law enforcement can immediately use to trigger their own investigation. So this confidential intel brief has been already shared with American law enforcement agency, South African law enforcement agency, international law enforcement agency, and Chinese law enforcement agency. And I know I cannot give you the details, but I know that some of them are already they started already working based on information provided by us.
One of the disturbing aspects of the report, and there are many, and again, at our Helping Hand post that goes along with the Elephant Action League and this Operation Red Cloud Grinding Rhino report, you'll be able to actually read the public version of it. But the report concludes there is rampant corruption that's contributing to the horn getting into China and then being sold. And so when we talk about handing over the information to the officials, also explain how a range of police, military, other government officials are playing a huge role in both the smuggling and the sale in Vietnam, China, also Myanmar and Malaysia, it looks like.
Absolutely. So part of our work constantly is always trying to find, to identify, to find the right law enforcement officer in the right law enforcement agency with whom we can share confidential information, and a person that we know that he will do or she will do something about it. And you know, we have a network, a database. As I said, you know, most of our team members come, they are ex-former law enforcement themselves, so we put a lot of, you know, effort in finding the right people. And it's not always easy for these people, because sometimes, especially in certain countries, you give information to, you know, a good police officer, for example, honest, but maybe is surrounded by dishonest people. So the work sometimes for these people is really difficult. In this case, with Grinding Rhino, I think we found the right law enforcement body in China, and we are in direct contact with them, and we know they are doing something already, which for us and for everyone is actually a huge achievement when any law enforcement agency, but especially Chinese law enforcement agency, is actually acting, you know, after receiving information from us. There is a lot of corruption, actually. I would say that corruption is the main enabler of the whole illegal trade. Enormous quantity of rhino horn, raw rhino horns, are getting into Vietnam and then smuggle into China, simply going through borders and paying basically police, custom official, and soldier just to look the other way. So it's an uphill battle. But because in those countries, wildlife crime, environmental crime is usually not a priority for law enforcement, here we come. We do part of the work, you know, donkey work for them, and then we share information and we help them as much as we can to do their job.
That's got to be tough to find the guys you can trust. And I've had Madeline Willemson on, who works for traffic in Vietnam at their Hanoi office, and she's told me similar story about just how difficult it is to find a trustworthy police officer or military person. But the important thing to note is what you've just noted, and that they do exist. It's not like every person there supports this activity. There are plenty of people in Vietnam and China who are
especially China. I would say China in general. I think that we saw good progress in the past years. They're more assertive, they're more willing to act on wildlife criminals, much more than Vietnam, in my opinion. So it's our duty to keep open this channel and to find a way to work together with them.
One of the things, and you didn't mention it in there, but it's a part of the report that's contributes to what we're talking about right now. Chinese naval vessels transporting the rhino horn and actual sales to military personnel of this contraband.
Yes, we have recorded on video, we have a well-informed trader in southern China. So he's also a head of a local trader association, and he's mentioning the involvement of China Navy vessels and a few captains, these people are basically, as you can imagine, are in the perfect position to smuggle pretty much everything into China, especially from Africa. They are not checked, and these people, according to this person, multiple times contact this guy and asking information on how to sell rhino horn. They bring in rhino horn into China. They even ask him to come over to Africa and help them to, you know, pick up the product. But it's important to say that, we don't want to generalize, of course. You know, it's not an accusation to the whole Chinese Navy. You know, bad apples are everywhere, including Chinese Navy. In this case, of course, it's more important than other cases because these people, they can do pretty much whatever they want. But we share with the Chinese law enforcement also this particular information, so we hope they will act on it.
And there's an aspect of it that goes with technology. And so, as you mentioned before, a lot of it is coming right over the border. In many cases, they're hiring people to walk it over the border because it's easier. They hire children to bring it over the border. It's not a whole lot different than, I guess, selling drugs in an urban American city and trying to use a kid as the mule because he wouldn't get penalized as hard. But there's the aspect of two roles. And again, thinking of ways people can support your efforts or put pressure on these organizations. The social media source WeChat in particular being used for sales, and then shipping companies and the roles that they play in shipping in the contraband.
Yeah, exactly. So what we found out that a lot is done through WeChat. WeChat is a China application similar to our WhatsApp. With the difference that you can actually even receive and send money on WeChat, so it's very handy for everyone, including, of course, smugglers. So first of all, you have to get their trust in order to be, for them to give you the WeChat account, and then they put you into groups, and then they send you all kind of stuff. So that makes, from an investigative point of view, of course, it's a challenge, and that's why it requires time to get close to these people. Of course, couriers are used all the times. I'm not saying that that these companies are colluded or anything, but it's not new. Couriers are used by drug dealers all over the world because it's the easier and faster way to send illicit goods. But we collected the names of at least four couriers that are systematically used to send the rhino horn from Vietnam into China and within China. So we hope the authorities will look into that as well. They use kids along the border. We found one guy that showed our team, they were in front of a river, and basically on the right side, on the right, they were smuggling drugs and heroin, and on the left there was smuggling other stuff like rhino horn. So the routes are also very similar, of course.
Oh yeah, it's just become a criminal enterprise, and the difference here is it's a living creature that's being brutally killed for something that doesn't even have a value. At least the drugs to some degree can do something for someone, but the rhino horn really does nothing for anyone. It's just a killer. And as we turn to ways that people can help you guys, a final, maybe one of the more conclusive sort of summaries of the report, if you will. There's a lot in this thing, but one thing it says in there is a correlation analysis confirms between 2000 and 2011, the volume of rhino horn auctioned in China was significantly correlated with the rate of annual rhino poaching in South Africa.
Yeah, and that's the proof that the only way to save those animals, doesn't matter if we're talking about rhino or elephants, is to have no trade at all, no legal trade, nothing. And that's hence the Hawaii is one of the very few states in the United States where you have an ivory state ban. And the approach in rhino is different because rhino in China is illegal since 93, so it's completely legal. All the market is underground. But even legal auctions, where, for example, you find very antique old pieces, in a way trigger the poachers. You have a ripple effect back to Africa because they fuel the demand. And as long as consumers in Asia understands that it's okay to buy a rhino horn product or ivory, they will keep buying and buying and buying. The middle class, or anyway, the people that are able to buy is growing every day. So there's nothing sustainable here. The only chance to protect these animals is a serious law enforcement policy, meaning that I personally doubt on this kind of awareness campaigns in China where they tell you entirely based on Western values. Please don't kill elephants. Please don't kill rhinos because they're intelligent, because they're nice, because we like them. They don't have the same values. So those awareness campaigns don't work. The only awareness campaign that would work with, if you buy a rhino horn, you go to jail. And here's the proof. Look at him. He went to jail because they have very strict rules, very strict laws, by the way, in China. You really go to jail for trafficking of rhino or ivory. The problem is that they are not enforced.
And your report basically outlines what you just said, that people don't really seem to care. The way, as we think about ways to stop this, the effect, I'm quoting from the report, the effect of population on potential buyers for rhino horn as a luxury product was not significant at any price, meaning the consumers just don't care about causing the deaths. In fact, one of the people who was trying to sell the rhino horn said, quote, "This one is clean and beautiful, especially it's with blood pattern. This is the best. And a proof that the horn was taken while the rhino is still alive." So the cruelty that you're talking about, you're right, the approach, and that's what Madeline Williamson from Traffic basically said about Vietnam, trying to appeal to people as if these are warm, fuzzy animals that you want to protect is not going to do it so much as having harsh, harsh penalties that if you get involved with it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And sometimes they even seriously counterproductive. We met brokers, traffickers, and even consumers, that they were actually attracted by the fact that these animals are getting rarer and rarer. So it's even more appealing to have these products.
Right. Well, it's banking on extinction.
Extinction, exactly.
Which is a new horrible phase that it's basically, exactly. We'll buy so much of the elephant tusk and the rhino horn that will make these animals extinct. They won't exist anymore. And the value of that horn will go through the roof.
Exactly.
So besides donating money, which is first and foremost, and again, it's Elephant Action League. They've got a team that includes ex-FBI, ex-other law enforcement, who have a unique approach for how this nonprofit works. So people can donate money. People can spread the word on social media. Talk about the ways that you can empower people. And that's also why I mentioned whether it's contacting the people who own WeChat or contacting shipping companies or contacting legislators. There's a lot of ways that people listening can be empowered. And you're with the organization. You're their executive director. Talk directly to people in the ways that you think they can support your mission.
Exactly. So I think the most important thing is keep the pressure on. So we collectively, directly through the legislators on social media, via email, doesn't really matter. We have to keep pressure on Asian governments, but also international governments, and even African governments, because without pressure, they will not do anything. They will not react. And a classic example, a very good example, is the ban on the legal market of ivory that in China, that the Chinese government decided to implement finally. They announced it at the end of 16, and it will be, they are phasing out now the legal market of ivory. That is happening because of reports like ours, but also because of serious, real international pressure. And they, at the end, they decided to do it. We don't have such a pressure right now for rhino. Rhino is even... the emergency of rhino is even more important than elephants. We have more or less 350,000 elephants left in Africa. We have 25,000 rhino left in the whole continent. So the moment is now. You can help us. You can help other NGOs doing similar job. If you want to, what I always repeat is, Don't over-focus and over-fund anti-poaching activities, because every time you do anti-poaching, you do not address the problem. You contain the problem. That's why it's also important to do anti-poaching. You have to keep the animals alive, but you do not address the problem. You address the problem by investigating and exposing the people behind and helping law enforcement to take them down.
And so when people make donations to you, that is basically how you were able to fund the undercover operation and put all those people on the ground there in China and Vietnam and elsewhere.
Correct. It's entirely funded by private. Exactly. Yes.
And are there any volunteer roles, or are there any other needs? Like, if people are listening and maybe they're retired, or maybe they are ex-law enforcement, we have a huge military population out here as well, a lot of retired military. And there have been, I know on the anti-poaching, there have been quite a few courageous veterans who have gone in to try to defend the animals. Do you have any other volunteer needs or other roles in particular that you want to throw out there?
No, the only volunteers that we have right now are basically online volunteers. So, you know, they sort of spreading the word not only about Elephant Action League, but about the importance to tackle wildlife crime in a different way, in an innovative, you know, bolder way, if you want. And this is a very important form of volunteer for us, of course. In the field, for us, it's impossible to use volunteers, you know, because of, of course, the nature of work is very delicate. We will, of course, if you are a former intelligence officer, or if you have that kind of skills, you can contact us. Of course, you may, you know, there's always we can always learn something, and we can always maybe use a particular skill or a particular person to do something.
Oh, well, it sounds like, though, there's a huge task, which is volunteering by spreading the word, utilizing social media to get more people to know about the crisis, which is a very fast-moving one, as you pointed out. Back in 2007, there was very little poaching, and then suddenly with the spreading of, as you called it, as many people have, a perfect storm. There were rumors that this stuff would do something to help you. There was people banking on extinction. There was an increasing middle class. So many factors came together. So when people listening realize that they can do a lot just by going to the website and spreading the information and learning more, let me give the contact information now. It's elephantleague.org. where you can learn more about the crisis, you can read the report, and you can share the information with others. You can also email them if you have a question of how. Maybe you want to support them and you want advice on using the social media. Maybe you want advice on a specific government to contact, or when Andrea talks about putting pressure on certain governments, you could email Elephant League and find out specific email contacts and ways that you can reach out to legislators in those countries. And their email is info@elephantleague.org. There's also an email contact form at their site. You can provide them confidential email online. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Of course, you can find the full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for Helping Hand on the pull-down menu. Other things that we didn't cover, that obviously it's a very in-depth report. There are a lot of other fantastic reports. They're frightening to read, but the things that you have online at the website certainly can help people get educated. But are there other aspects of your mission or call to action you want to spread? By all means, please share it.
We continue, of course. We are very active right now in Southern Africa and the whole Southeast Asia. We've been asked by other organizations to begin working in Latin America for a specific in wildlife trafficking that is happening between Latin America and actually the United States, and we'll do so. So we have a project called Wild Leaks. Wild Leaks has been launched by us 3 years ago, and it's basically the world's first whistleblowing initiative dedicated to wildlife crime, through which we receive a lot of confidential information from all over the world, from people. So it's a platform that allow people to submit information to us about wildlife crime from countries where you usually risk your life when you talk about these crimes, and you can do it safely. And then the information is then shared with law enforcement and with our network. So this is another way people can help us around the world, including from Hawaii, of course.
And certainly this was a market before that law that you mentioned went into effect. There was great concern that Hawaii would be one of the top markets for ivory and other wildlife parts. So certainly people here, it is definitely an issue, and is something that we've had to face locally, but it's something that I know a lot of people here feel strongly about. It's Operation Red Cloud that you can learn more about at their website, which is Elephant League. Org for the Elephant Action League and the new report, Grinding Rhino, an investigation into rhino horn trafficking in China and Vietnam. We've been privileged today to have the Elephant Action League executive director, co-founder, one of the authors of the report, Andrea Crosta, joining us. And the door is open, my friend. We'll definitely keep in touch. And if there's other organizations that you think it would be good for us to put the spotlight on, I'll definitely have them on. And any other things that we can do to spread the word or specific things that I can mention, feel free to get in touch. But I really, on behalf of all the people who love animals and on behalf of all the animals that you're trying to do the right thing by, thank you for doing what you do. It's an inspiration.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great pleasure.